Before sunrise, her phone lit the room like a low-tide beacon. 3 missed calls. 8 new messages. A photo of a small box on her doormat. She had never told him her unit number. She had only met him last night at the community night, all lights and easy talk and a warm laugh that cut through the noise. She opened the door and found the box warm from the night air. Inside sat a bracelet and a folded note. Couldn't sleep. Thinking of you. Her chest tightened. Kind or quick. Sweet or too much. She could not name the feeling, but her body named it first. Shoulders up. Breath high. His next text arrived while she held the note. Share your location, so I know you got home safe from now on. It was 5:20 a.m. The sun had not cleared the tree line. She typed, then erased, then set the phone down. Chapter 1, Fast Gifts, Faster Promises. Maya met Alex by the coffee urn when the jazz trio took a break. He wore a linen shirt and a grin that felt practiced, but not sharp. He asked what brought her there. She said the mural project. He said the same. He found the one detail to praise in her answer and held it up to the light. She noticed, and she liked being seen. They took their paper cups to the open door to get air. He listened in a way that made the rest of the room fall quiet. He told one short story about a failed road trip and ended on himself, not the friend who had messed up. He kept his voice soft. He did not touch her arm. He kept his hands in sight. All of it red as care. Red flag. Speed is its own tactic. He asked for her number when they were still in the doorway. She gave it. He sent the first text before she reached her car. You made that event better. The second arrived at the stop sign. I want to hear the rest about the mural team. By the time she reached her apartment, 5 more waited. Each one tuned to her words from the night, like a mirror that only reflected her best lines back. That night she slept in fits. Her phone hummed at 2, then 3. At 5:20 the photo hit, then the knock. She moved slow to the door. The hallway was empty, bracelet by quiet. She set the box on the table and read the note again. Couldn't sleep. Thinking of you. The bracelet was thin and gold tone with a small charm shaped like a star. She liked stars. She had said that. Once. He had kept it. Her phone buzzed again. Share your location, so I know you got home safe from now on. The words were framed as care. The ask was not small. She stood over the table and felt the ask press into the room. I move at my pace, she said out loud. Boundary set. It sounded steady. It steadied her. She typed it and sent it. He replied fast. Of course. Your comfort first. I just worry. You're rare. The praise landed soft as a blanket. She felt herself loosen. Then his next text stacked on it. Tonight? Dinner. My treat. Let me show you a place that fits your style. He named her favorite dish. He named a neighborhood she loved. She had told him both only once. He had kept it all. By mid-morning the count hit 50 messages. None asked real questions. Each told her she was seen. That is its own thrill. That is also its own trap. She tried a pause. She set the phone face down and walked to the sink. The water ran until it went cold. She dried her hands and let the quiet work. When she lifted the phone, 5 more messages waited. 2 were photos of cafes, he said reminded him of her. 1 was a quote about fate. 1 called her a soulmate. Day 2. Red flag. Soulmate talk this early is not romance. It is pressure dressed as poetry. She wrote back slower than before. Tonight may be tight. Long day at work. He replied with grace that felt bright and also exact. You work hard. I love that. Tell me when you leave the office, so I can time the gift drop for when you get home. She read it twice. She did not like the shape of it. She put the bracelet back in the box. She set the box in a drawer. She texted, no gifts at my door. Please. He sent a voice note that she did not play. Then a text. I hear you. I overdid it. I only want to meet you where you are. The afternoon moved. Work called her back. He pinged less. When he did, he told small stories and waited for her reply. Mirroring is not always kind. Sometimes it is a map drawn to your steps. She met him that evening at a busy corner, not at her building. He had a flower tucked behind his back. He did not offer to walk her home after. He said he wanted to, then said he respected her space. He placed the flower on the table at the restaurant and pushed the menu toward her like a small stage. He asked about her friends and wrote down their names in his head. He repeated phrases she used and made them his. He laughed in the same rhythm. Mirroring builds quick bonds. It also blurs edges until you forget where you end. He did not press the location share again at dinner. He pressed time. What if we just put a few standing check-ins, so I can hear your voice? Knightley quick. 2 minutes. It sounded small. It was not small. She said she preferred unplanned talk. He smiled and agreed, then sent a calendar invite under the table. She did not see it until later. On the walk back to the corner, he talked future like it was already here. Trips. Places. A plan to cook on Sundays. He said he could see them as a team. He said the word we 10 times in one block. It warmed and it weighed. At the corner, she stopped and set her feet. I move at my pace, she said again. He nodded. He reached for her hand, then paused. He asked if he could take it. She said not tonight. Consent clear. He stepped back a small step. He covered the step with a joke that sounded sweet. When she got home, her phone lit again. Text me when you are inside. I will sleep easier. She felt the pull to care for his comfort. She set her own first. In safe. Good night. She kept it short. She turned on the chain and the deadbolt. Her body did the math her head had not caught up to yet. The calendar invite waited in her inbox. Daily check-in, 10 p.m., 15 minutes. She deleted it without replying. Red flag, scheduling access without agreement. She made tea. She turned off the big light and kept the lamp. She sat and wrote one page in a notebook. Date. Time. Gift at the door. Location share ask. Soulmate line. Her own words in the margin. Slow is not a test you fail. The phone buzzed again. One last thing before sleep. I feel like I have known you for years. She typed back, good night, Alex. Nothing more. She set the notebook on the table, top corner folded. She did not plan to need it. She planned to remember how this felt. Warm and off at once. She chose to name both. She turned the phone face down and let the room go quiet. Outside, someone walked a dog and hummed. Inside, the bracelet stayed in the drawer. The note stayed under it. Her boundary sat between them like a small wall she could stand behind. The next day would test it. The test would not look like a test. Chapter 2, Rules That Don't Look Like Rules. Morning cut through the blinds and drew lines across her kitchen table. Maya poured coffee and opened her phone to a message from Alex. A photo of a cappuccino with a heart in the foam. Your style. Oat milk, right? He had noted the detail last night. Again, it felt like care. The next message followed fast. Try skipping sugar. You don't need it. Clean taste suits you. It sat like advice, not a command. She tasted her cup and kept it how she liked it. She sent a smile and no promise to change. He replied with a playlist link and a note about a book she once named on a first date. He mirrored her taste in music and lined up the same author. Familiar. Close. Safe. Then he nudged. We could set a theme for the week. No late nights. Early walks. Reset our rhythm. The word R struck her. It was day 9. She typed back. Busy week. I keep my own schedule. He hearted the message, then shifted. Of course. I like how you plan things. That's why I want us exclusive. Just you and me. It was not a question. It landed with a soft thud. Maya set the phone down and watched the steam leave the cup. Exclusive by week 2. She had moved faster once and paid for it. She had promised herself to slow down next time. She chose not to answer yet. At lunch, he sent a photo of a jacket in a store window. This color would light you up. He added a line about how her usual shade washed her out. The words were sweet at the edges and sharp in the middle. She tried the sentence on and did not like the fit. When they met that evening, he matched her order without asking. He praised the way she held eye contact. He echoed her views on the mural project and completed her sentences. It made talk easy. It also made the air thin. She felt her edges blur. He raised the topic of labels as the server cleared plates. I deleted my apps, he said, like a man who had dropped a weight. I want to focus on us. You're it for me. His gaze stayed on her, steady and warm. Say we're exclusive and put the noise to bed. She breathed and took the word in. Exclusive meant a line around them. She could want that. It also meant speed. It also meant less light around the choices inside the line. She asked for time. He nodded, leaned back, and let the silence play. Then he reached for the reward. You're careful. I love that. It keeps me safe too. He told a story about a past partner who pushed pace and made mess. He told it in a way that cast him as patient and her as the antidote. The reward felt like sun on a winter step. The next day the weather turned hot. He suggested she leave a sweater in his car so she would not carry one. He told her her hair looked better tied back. He laughed when she kept it down. "Do you?" he said, like a flag for freedom. "I like this, though," he added, and touched a strand without asking. She stepped back, and he let his hand fall. "Noted," he said, and switched to praise. Reward, then pull. On day 12, he sent a text at noon. "Let's keep us private for now. People ruin good things with their opinions. No posts. No talk to friends yet. I want a clean start." The line wore the clothes of wisdom. It was a rule. Maya read it twice and looked at her calendar. A friend dinner sat at 7. She had planned to go. She pictured how he might react if she named it. She pictured how she might feel if she hid it. She called him. "Private how?" she asked. "Just between us," he said, easy and bright. "No need to invite noise. I want to protect what we have." "From who?" "From anyone who doesn't see you like I do," he said. "You know how people get. They can't handle seeing something rare." The praise gave his rule a gloss. She heard the shine and set it aside. "Privacy is not secrecy," she said, steady. Her line on the table. He paused long enough to count. "You're right," he said at last. "I was sloppy with words. I only want to avoid the social show. Keep it pure. Tell your best friend if you need. I trust you." The reward came wrapped as respect. It landed soft. That night she went to dinner. She did not share much. She did not want to carry anyone's opinion either. She also did not want to hide. After dinner she sent him a photo of a streetlight over wet pavement and wrote, "Home late. Good day." He did not answer. The bubble stayed gray. The quiet hung on her shoulders and swung with each step. The next morning the silence kept. No check-in. No first joke. No good morning. Her chest tightened, then loosened when she named the move. Withdraw to mark a line. She brewed coffee and waited an hour before texting. "Talk later?" He replied with a short, flat line. "Busy. Long day. We'll see." By afternoon the cold had melted. He sent a long note about missing her voice and loving her steadiness. He closed with a plan for a quiet night. "Our kind of quiet," he wrote. "Reward again after cold." The pattern took shape on the page. At the cafe that night he mirrored her order and called it a sign. He talked about books she used to love and urged her to try the new one he held out. He said he had bought 2 so they could read in sync. She smiled and thanked him. He tucked both copies into his bag to keep them safe. She watched him claim the space between gift and access. Talk drifted to work. He praised her projects and suggested she skip a volunteer event to rest with him. He framed it as care. She had already promised to go. She told him she would still be there. "Of course," he said. His jaw set for a breath, then softened. "I want you at your best. I get protective. I'm learning." They walked out into warm air. He reached for her hand and asked. She said yes. Consent clear. At the curb he said, "If someone asks what we are, tell them we are building. That way we keep the frame strong." He smiled like a man offering a trade that favored them both. Maya slept light and woke to a string of praise texts. He liked the way she looked at sunup. He liked the shoes she wore. He liked that she did not let the world rush her. He wrote it all down and sent it back to her. She felt seen again. She also saw the hand on the wheel. At lunch he pushed the label again. "Exclusive gives me peace. I sleep better knowing you're mine." The word "mine" hit bone. She answered later with a line that fit her. "I choose not belong." He sent a voice note that said he loved her fire. He closed with a soft edge. "I just need to know you won't let others into our space yet. It keeps me calm." He put his need in the center and asked her to carry it. That evening she met him in the park. He wore running shoes and carried water. He suggested she switch to a different route for safety, then steered them to a path with fewer people. She stopped. "I like the main loop," she said. He smiled and went with her. He told a story about protecting a past partner from gossip. He cast himself as a shield. She heard the theme. They sat on a bench near the fountain. He leaned forward. "Say the word and I'm all in. Exclusive. Clean. Quiet. Just us for a while." His eyes held hers. He looked sure of himself and sure of her. She felt two truths. She liked him. She also liked her life as it was. She wanted both, and the pull to choose sat heavy in her chest. "Not yet," she said. "I'm still learning you." He nodded and kissed the back of her hand with care. He did not ask to kiss her mouth. He stayed within the line. When they said goodnight, he held the hug one heartbeat longer than she did. He let go when she did. Silence followed her home again. This time she did not chase it. She wrote in her notebook instead. Date. Exclusive ask at day 12. Keep us private line. Reward after cold. Her own words in the margin. Name what he asks for, not the frame he puts on it. The next morning a message waited. I didn't sleep. I kept thinking how much better I am with you. I want to earn your trust. Tonight let me cook. Just us. No outside noise. She stared at the words and felt the old pull. She wanted to say yes. She wanted light around that yes. She texted back. Dinner in a public spot works for me. 7. I will meet you there. He replied with a heart, then a thumbs up, then nothing else. The shift sent a small chill. She named it. Cold shoulder when she set a boundary. Reward when she moved his way. At the restaurant, he waited with a chair pulled out. He used her phrases about work wins and told her he was proud. When she laughed with the server, his eyes dimmed. When she asked a follow-up, they cleared. She watched the weather move across his face. Midway through the meal, he returned to secrecy. I get edgy when people look in, he said. It ruins my focus. He chewed, then added, do this for me. No posts. No talk. Not yet. I need a quiet start. He put the fork down like a line break. Maya felt the table go still. Privacy is not secrecy, she said again calm. She held his gaze. I will not hide. He pressed his lips and breathed out. I hear you, he said. I went too far. Let's agree on a radius. You can tell two of your people. I'll do the same. Nothing public yet. Give me 2 weeks. He reached for compromise and tied it to a timer. She considered the offer and the shape of the ask. Two of your people is still a limit crafted by someone else. She took a sip of water and chose her line. I decide who knows me. I decide when. He sat back. The room's noise rose and fell around them. He smiled without warmth, then shifted to charm like a coat. I like a woman who stands her ground, he said. He changed the subject and told a story about a street vendor and a lost wallet. He had the beats ready. The glow returned. Later, on the walk back to the corner, he stopped under a streetlight. You matter to me, he said. I want this to last. Help me keep it safe. He made it sound like the two of them against a crowd. At home, she wrote the night into the notebook. She drew arrows between praise and ask. She underlined secrecy twice. She ended the page with a quiet rule for herself. She would not shrink the truth of her life to soothe someone else's fear. Her phone lit at 10 with a short line. You there? She let it sit while she brushed her teeth. She answered at 10:20. Here. Turning in. Talk tomorrow. The reply did not come. The gray bubble held. She closed her eyes and felt the quiet press. She stayed with it until it loosened. When the screen lit again near midnight, the message was simple. If you want me, be mine. If you don't, say it now. The choice looked clear. It was also carved to his size. Maya set the phone face down and breathed. She would not answer at midnight. She would not move on a timer she did not set. The quiet sat with her like a question hung in the room. Morning would bring his next move. The pattern said reward or frost. The next line from her would decide which. Chapter 3, Measuring Access. At 9:58 p.m. her phone rang. The screen showed his name and a calendar bar above it. 10 p.m. check-in. 15 minutes. She answered and kept it calm. They traded 2 short notes about the day. At 10:02 p.m., she said she was turning in. He said sleep well and hung up. 1 minute later, he texted a number. 8 minutes, 41 seconds tonight. Shorter than yesterday. A second message followed. Let's aim for 15, so I know you're steady. He had a record. He was timing her voice. She opened her calendar. A new series sat on the week. Nightly check-in, 10 p.m., 15 minutes. He had sent it to repeat. She declined the invite and typed one clear line. I don't schedule calls. I call when it fits. He replied with a small joke that tried to soften the point. Then he added a noon touch base for the next day. Morning came with a string of light praise and a missed you line. At lunch, a new hold blocked her Friday at 7. Quiet dinner. Recharge. It lay across the same hour stamped for her friend's birthday. The hold had no end time. It bled into night. She texted back. I have a prior plan. He answered fast. We can go after. Or I can meet you at the spot and drive you home. He fixed it to the edge of her life and waited for her to move. She removed the hold and felt her shoulders ease. He sent a thumbs up, then a little chill. No afternoon check-in. No midday line. The quiet worked on her. When she did not break it, he sent a quick payment to cover her ride that night. so you don't have to think about it. I like caring for you. She watched the number appear in her app and felt the tug a favor creates. At 5, he sent a photo of a takeout bag and a note. I grabbed your favorite soup for your week. Swing by after your dinner, and I'll hand it off. He wrote it like an errand already set. She did not agree. He added, this is me showing up. Let me. The ride to the restaurant was smooth. She put the payment aside for later and planned to send it back. At 7:10, a text stacked on her screen. 10 p.m. check-in still on. I sleep better with your voice. She typed and erased. She chose short and clear. Not tonight. Early start tomorrow. The reply came with heat folded thin. You overreact. It's 15 minutes. She looked at the line on the screen. 2 messages later he added, Jenna always made time. We never missed a night. It kept us close. The name sat there like a tool. He sent a second note. I'm not comparing. I'm telling you what works for me. He had set a bar and called it a need. He had placed another woman at the end of it to give it weight. Maya put the phone face down and went inside. Laughter, plates, a candle. She let the room reset her. When a song came on and her friend reached for her hand, she took it. She let the moment be about the person in front of her. After 9, she stepped to the sidewalk to breathe. A fresh invite landed. Sunday reset us. It covered noon to 9. She pressed her thumb to the screen and removed it. He called at once. I want time that's ours, he said. The world pulls. I want a field where we meet and nothing else gets in. I choose my field, she said. My time is mine. The words held steady. She heard her own voice and believed it. He went quiet, then softened his tone. I love that you set lines. It makes me feel safe too, he said. I need rhythm. You know my head. If we lock 2 or 3 anchors, I stop spinning. Then anchor your day, she said. Not mine. He laughed once, without warmth, then smoothed it over with charm. I'm learning you, he said. Give me a week of nightly check-ins and I'll relax. He tried trade as comfort. She kept her side simple. Not nightly, she said. When it fits. He breathed in and shifted. You're busy, he said, a shade too flat. I get it. He let the cold in for a beat. Then he pivoted. I picked up that jacket we saw. The color that lights you up. It's at my place. I'll bring it by tomorrow. You don't need to buy me things, she said. I want to, he said. Let me care for you my way. Care is a word that can hide a hook. She held her line. No drop-offs at my door. Not your door, he said, quick. Corner cafe. 5 minutes. Hand off and go. He framed it as nothing. It was still a marker on her time. That night, as 10 drew near, he sent a countdown. 5 to 10. Phone on. She let it sit. At 10:01 p.m. he dialed. She declined. He dialed again. She turned the phone to silent and lay on the bed breathing slow until her heartbeat settled. Morning showed a new plan. Check-ins, 7:30 a.m., noon, 10 p.m. quick hits. Keep us tuned. 3 holds stared back at her from the screen. He had scheduled her day in blocks that fit his worry. She removed all 3. He called within a minute. I need you to meet me here, he said, voice low. I've been spiraling. When you go quiet, my brain builds stories. I am not a story you manage, she said. I am a person. I know, he said. I hate how I sound. Help me fix it. Fix your step, she said. Not mine. He exhaled. You act like I'm trying to control you, he said. I'm trying to love you right. Love respects time, she said. Mine included. He switched to soft again. You ground me, he said. Let me bring soup at 6 and say hi. 10 minutes. No drop, she said. No meeting at my place. If I want to see you, I'll say so. At lunch a new angle arrived. Loan me 50 for a day. Card got flagged. I'll send it back tomorrow. You'd be saving me. The ask was small by design. She had the money. She also saw the line it would draw. She replied that she hoped his card cleared and did not send it. He sent a half smile and a note about pride. 1 hour later a transfer hit her account from him instead. For last night's ride. For your time. For making me feel steady. A favor placed like a weight. She sent it back with a 2-word note. Not needed. He replied with a long line about how he gives when he cares. He closed with, don't make me feel wrong for loving you. In the afternoon, he swung the X back into view. Jenna taught me the value of rhythm. We checked in 3 times a day. That's how grown people do it. The sentence carried a dare. Be like her or be less. Maya looked at the text and felt the old impulse to prove she was enough. She let it pass. She wrote 1 clear line. Comparison is a wall. I won't climb it. At 6, he sent a photo of the soup bag again, and a map pinned 2 blocks from her place. I'm close. 2 minutes. Step out. She typed, not meeting tonight. He replied with a thin warning wrapped as concern. When you pull away, it scares me. I could show up if that's easier. She let the message sit, and did not feed it. He went to the soft reward again. I want to earn you. Give me your window. I'll work around it. He made it sound like he was bending when he was marking time. She opened her calendar and added a single block for herself. Quiet hour. No share. No invite. No notes. She put it at 10 p.m. and smiled at the small act. At 9:58 p.m. the phone started to buzz. She watched it light and dim and light again. She turned it over so the screen faced the table. The calls stopped at 10:10 p.m. A message replaced them. You overreact. 2 more followed. We need structure. You owe me clarity. She breathed and chose her answer with care. My time is mine. I will not schedule my voice for you. The dots pulsed, then stopped. A new invite landed in the morning. Weekend reset, us noon to 9. It cut straight through her friend's name on Saturday, like a bar across a door. She removed it and sat with the quiet that followed. The next move would come. It had a shape now. It would push at the same hour and call it self-care. She looked at the door, checked the lock, and set her plan for Friday as it was. The test would meet her there. Chapter 4, The Public Test. The plan was simple. 2 friends, a shared plate, and talk that did not orbit him. Maya picked a bright place with wide windows and the hum of easy noise. She told Alex she had dinner plans. He sent a heart and a line about missing her face. She left it there. Halfway through the meal, he walked in. He saw her, lit up, and crossed the room like this was a surprise that fate had set. What are the odds? He said, smiling at the table. Her friends looked at Maya. She chose steady. We're catching up, she said. We can say hello outside after. He pulled a chair anyway. He offered to order a round. He told a short story that put him at the center. He used 2 of her phrases from last week and wore them like his own. The table shrank around his voice. 1 friend steered the talk back to work. Maya followed. Her phone buzzed. A co-worker had sent a quick question about a file due in the morning. She answered 1 line and set the phone face down. Alex watched the move and kept smiling. Then he leaned in, light and close. Who from work texts at dinner, he said, voice clean. We said we keep our time pure. The words sounded soft. The edge cut. Maya's friend raised an eyebrow. Maya kept her tone even. A file for morning. Nothing more. He laughed in a way that did not warm the room. Nothing more is what everyone says right before the something, he said. He tried to turn it into a joke and failed to land it. The table fell quiet. He shifted to praise as if to heal the pause. He said her focus was rare. He said she made rooms better. Then he added, I look out for what we have. And he tapped the table near her phone like a tag. She felt her face get hot and cool at once. We are at my dinner, she said. I set this plan. I will finish it. He nodded, pushed back from the table, and said he would wait outside. He gave each friend a small bow, like a man exiting a stage. When the door closed behind him, her friends looked at her with the kind of care that carries a question. Are you safe? Are you seen? She breathed and said she was fine to finish. She meant it and did not love that she had to say it. They paid the bill and stepped out to the street. He stood by the curb under a streetlight. His smile was back. I missed you, he said. Walk me to the corner. He did not ask if she wanted that. He started to walk. Her phone buzzed again. The co-worker had sent a thank you and a quick update. Alex looked down at the screen as it lit. His hand moved before his words did. 2 fingers touched the top edge, like he was helping her hold it. Then he reached for it. She pulled her hand back and stopped walking. My phone stays with me, she said. The line came out calm. It landed firm. He held his hands up as if he had been caught near a hot pan. I'm sorry, he said. Reflex. I saw the name and thought it was the ex with the cat photo again. I got protective. He framed it as defense. It had been an attempt at reach. She did not move. Do not reach for my phone, she said. Not in public. Not in private. He looked around, saw 2 people nearby, and lowered his voice. You make me sound like a problem, he said. I am trying to love you right. Then respect my line, she said. He took a short breath and chose a new mask. You are right, he said. I stepped over. I hate that I did it out here. You must feel small. That kills me. He reached for her hand. Can I hold your hand? Not now, she said. Consent clear. He nodded and eased back. The praise came next. You teach me. I like that about us, he said. Let me fix it. Let me take you home so you feel safe. He rapped a request for access in the language of care. I am safe, she said. I am going to my own place alone. He stared at her for a beat, smile steady, eyes not. Then he put his hands in his pockets and said he would call tomorrow. He walked away with his shoulders held like a man under a weight he wanted her to carry. The flood hit before she reached her door. A long text about how ashamed he felt. A voice note she did not play. A photo of flowers with a receipt and the line, I left these at your door before I knew your rule. I'm sorry. Tell me where to send them back. He put proof of effort on the table like a chip. She kept walking. The hallway smelled like rain and soap. Her doormat was clear. No box. No flowers. He had not left anything. The receipt was a picture of intention, not an act. The next morning, a flower delivery arrived anyway. She did not buzz the courier in. 30 minutes later, a second attempt. At noon, a basket with tea and a note about calm. At 2, a message from him asking if she liked the arrangement with purple stems. He was measuring her gait. She sent one line. Please stop sending things. He replied with apology and a cascade of reasons. He missed his father. He held fear wrong. He was working to be better. He used every plank of a bridge to try to close the gap she had named. At 4, the footage started. A short clip sent to her phone. He had filmed the street last night, after she went inside. He had put it through a filter and added music. This is the light I see when I think of you, he wrote. The art hid the fact that he had kept filming after she said she was done. The edit did not make the act safe. She called. You are doing the most, she said. Stop. He sounded contrite. I spiraled, he said. I wanted to make amends. I bought out the florist. I want you to feel adored. I want you to respect my line, she said. He rushed to agree. Then he slid in the ask. Let me bring one thing by. 5 minutes at your door. I'll leave it on the mat and go. No talk if you don't want. No, she said. My door is not your stage. Silence. Then a turn. You are punishing me, he said. I mess up and you pull love. That is control. Love is not the issue, she said. Respect is the issue. He sighed. You make rules and I follow them, and still I end up wrong, he said. The sentence was a knot. She did not pick at it. She ended the call and wrote. Date. Location grab in public. Flowers flood. Video at night. Boundary restated. She added a question mark next to consequence. A line means little without a next step when crossed. At 6 a message landed. Dinner on me to say sorry. Bring your friends. I'll make it right in front of them. He wanted the stage back. He called it repair. She wrote back with precision. No public amends. No gifts. No surprise arrivals. No reach for my phone. If any line is crossed again, I will take a full week of no contact. She typed the consequence and read it twice before sending. He replied at once with a softer shape. A week would kill me. Please don't do that. I hear you. No more lines crossed. Let me call at 7 to show you I can do normal. She did not answer the last part. She poured water and stood at the sink until the impulse to soften for him passed. When the call came at 7, she let it ring. After the second attempt, she sent a text. Not taking calls tonight. You have my lines. His replies arrived in waves. Praise. Apology. A story about his mother. A small joke. A question about her dinner. He closed with, I am on your side. Stop treating me like the enemy. He put his need at the center and asked her to hold it. She did not. She made tea and chose a book. Her phone stayed in another room. In the morning, a video from the florist landed. He had filmed himself canceling future deliveries and told the camera he was learning. He sent it to her like proof. He wanted credit for a step back from a line he should not have crossed. She wrote one line. No more videos. No more proof clips. Live the change. He answered that he would. He attached a photo of a small notebook and a pen. I am logging my triggers so I do not make you fix them, he wrote. The act could be honest. It could also be a new way to keep her in the loop he spun. She closed her eyes and pictured the street under the light. The reach. The feel of her own voice when she said her phone stays with her. That was the moment that told the truth. She met him that evening in a busy space because she said she would. He arrived on time and empty-handed. He kept his voice low. He did not touch her. He said he was sorry and he would earn back ease by staying within her lines. He asked to sit for 20 minutes and talk simple. She agreed. It went fine until a server smiled at her and called her by name. Alex's jaw ticked for half a beat. He smoothed it and asked about the co-worker. "All set with that file," he said. "Still texting at dinner," he added, smile thin. "My work is my work," she said. "We are not debating that again." He held up his hands. "No debate. I'm learning." He swallowed what he wanted to say and replaced it with praise. It sounded practiced. Practice is not the same as change. When they stood to leave, he leaned in. "Can I put my number on your phone as IC?" he said. "In case you ever need me." He framed it as safety. It was another reach for a gate. "No," she said. "I choose who gets that spot." He breathed in. "You make me feel like a stranger," he said. "You are not my keeper," she said. They walked to the door in a careful quiet. Outside, he asked for a hug. She said yes and kept it brief. Consent clear. He started to speak. She held up a hand. "No more tonight," she said. "Let the line stand." He watched her go and did not follow. 2 hours later, a final message landed. "I am trying. Don't vanish on me." It sounded like a plea and also like a command. She let it sit. In her notebook, she drew a short line under the day's list. She wrote one sentence to end the page. "A boundary without a consequence is a wish." She closed the cover and set the pen on top. The next step would not be a speech. It would be a simple act that marked the line with weight. She looked at the phone and felt the choice arrive. Tomorrow she would decide whether to attach the week of silence to her rule or let the flowers and the apology wash it away. Chapter 5, Patterns on Paper. She opened the notebook to a fresh page and wrote the date. She listed 3 lines he used this week. She copied his words exactly with quotation marks. She added the timestamp next to each one. She moved to her phone and took screenshots. The praise before an ask. The cold after a no. The apology with a gift offer. One line to recap the past weeks sat at the top. Reward and withdraw on repeat. At noon, her friend Tara texted. Tara worked on the mural team and had a steady read on people. "Are you seeing Alex?" Tara wrote. "I need to show you something." They met near the coffee cart at 1:30 p.m. Tara arrived with a quiet face and a steady hand. Tara showed 2 screenshots on her phone. Same pet name. Same line about keeping a circle clean. Same request for a nightly check. The dates were from last month. The words matched within one word. Maya felt her ribs tighten and then loosen as the proof landed. She took photos of the screenshots with Tara's permission. They sat on a bench and kept it plain. "What's your safety plan?" Tara asked. Maya named the pieces she had built. She had dates. She had quotes. She had her own rules on one page. Now she had a match. They set a safe call code. If Maya texted the words blue folder, Tara would call at once and ask her to step outside. If Maya wrote 3 taps, Tara would call a second time and stay on until she was home. They practiced once at 2:10 p.m. The calls came through. The plan felt real. Maya added one more step. A check-in with a third person who knew nothing of Alex. She picked an aunt who lived across town and ran early walks each day. The aunt agreed to a morning text at 7:30 a.m. with only 2 choices. Green for steady. Red for help. Back at her table, Maya printed the screenshots at a small shop and slipped them into a folder. She kept names covered. She did not want a fight built on shame. She wanted a plan built on facts. She opened her message thread with Alex and read it with new eyes. The line about secrecy. The timing pushes. The "you overreact" refrain. She underlined the parts that turned her no into a test she had to pass. She wrote a clear sentence at the bottom of the page. "I will not defend my boundary." Her phone buzzed. "Miss your voice. Tonight at 10, he wrote. She felt the old pull and let it pass. She typed one line that matched her rule. "No scheduled calls. I choose when I speak." He replied with a soft tone. "I hear you. I'm learning. Can we reset Sunday? Just you and me." She looked at the word reset and set it aside. Reset without change is a loop. She opened the folder again and laid the pages out. She circled the soulmate line in both threads. She drew an arrow to the nightly check ask. She added a small note to herself. Patterns are the point, not excuses. Tara checked in at 5 with a thumbs up and a short line. "I am here if you need me tonight." Maya replied with thanks and sent a photo of the page with the safety code. They agreed to test it once more at 7. At 6:30 p.m. Maya set a go bag by the door. She added a copy of the lease. She put cash in an envelope and tucked it into her shoebox. She charged a spare phone. She booked a mailbox for the next morning at 9:15 a.m. She kept the steps small and steady. She took one more step to make the record clear. She emailed the log and the photos to herself and to a new folder on a drive she only used for receipts. She spoke the date and time out loud as she pressed save. It was 6:50 p.m. on a Thursday. Her phone lit up at 7 on the dot. Tara called and kept it light. They ran the code phrases and the response time. It worked. They hung up with a simple rule. If the code comes, act. No second guess. Maya wrote a final line to herself at the bottom of the page. I will verify, not argue. She said it out loud once. It steadied her. At 8, Alex sent a photo from a table set for 2. I cooked. Thought of you with every step. Miss you. Call at 10, he wrote. The words were warm. The push was clear. She did not answer. She drew a small box next to tomorrow's date and wrote 2 tasks. Mailbox at 9:15 a.m. public meeting spot at noon with a witness nearby. No private space. No car. She would say what needed saying when she chose the ground. She closed the folder and slid it into a tote. The room felt honest again. The cost sat there too. She named it. She would lose the idea of him. She would gain her air back. Her phone buzzed once more. I need you. Say you are mine, he wrote. She did not reply. She placed the phone face down and breathed until her shoulders dropped. The exit line came easy. She set her pen on the page and wrote it. Plan first, not a fight. The night held still around the choice. Chapter 6, The Exit Plan. She woke before light and kept the room quiet. The go bag sat by the door with a clean shirt, a spare charger, a copy of the lease, and cash in an envelope. She checked the zipper once. She left it where she could reach it fast. At 9:15 a.m., she signed for a small mailbox at a shop 2 blocks from the train. She wrote her new address on a card in plain print. A clerk handed her a key and a tiny brass tag. She turned the key once to feel it move. It worked. Next, the bank. She opened a second checking account with no linked card. She moved a set amount across. Rent, groceries, transit. She set no alerts. She kept the login on paper in her tote. At noon, she bought a basic phone at a corner store and paid cash. The number lived only in her pocket and on one small card in the tote. She turned it on once, saved Tara under a plain name, and turned it off again. She stood on the sidewalk and breathed. The list had felt heavy for weeks. Now it felt like gear for weather. She took a photo of the mailbox key and texted it to herself for the record. She wrote the time under the photo. 12:40 p.m. on Friday. At 1, Tara sent a short plan. She would sit on a bench across from the meeting spot with a book and a hat pulled low. She would stay in view of the door and the street. She would call if the words blue folder arrived. Maya chose a cafe with wide glass and a guard near the door. She picked the table closest to the counter. No corner. No wall at her back. She told the manager she was waiting for a tense talk and asked him to keep an eye out. He nodded and said he would. Her message to Alex was simple. Meet me at 4. 10 minutes. Public spot. He replied with a heart and a line about relief. Then he added a video of a pasta dish and a note about Sundays together. She did not respond. At 3:50 p.m., the first text hit. I'm outside. I brought your favorite tea. She replied with one clear line. No gifts. Leave it with the trash if you brought it. He sent a sad face and a note about trying. She did not move. For a clock on the dot, he walked in. He looked smaller than last night and more careful. He smiled at the guard, then at her, and kept his hands in view as he took the chair across from hers. He did not reach for her. I want to make this easy, she said. We will try one night apart. Tonight. Rules follow. He leaned forward, palms flat, like a student who wanted to prove he had heard the lesson. Anything. Say it. No calls, she said. No texts. No Dropbox. No location links. No friends as messengers. No notes at my door. No gifts. No surprise waits outside places I go. He blinked, then blinked again. One night, he said. Then we talk. One night, she said. Then we meet in a public space and check how we feel. He swallowed. I hate it, he said. I'll do it to earn your trust. This is not a test, she said. It is a boundary. She kept her voice even. No access without consent. He nodded and looked past her to the door, then back at her. I hear you. I won't come by, he said. I want to leave one thing. A handwritten note. You never read my letters. No, she said. No messages outside this talk. He tried a softer road. A voice note then, he said. I speak better than I write. No, she said. He sat back and gave a small laugh with no joy in it. You do know this feels like punishment, he said. This is safety, she said. For both of us. He folded his hands and watched hers. You keep records, he said, voice lower. Tara told you something. I keep records for myself, she said. We are not debating that. His jaw ticked and then went still. So this is a trial break, he said. We meet tomorrow, same time, same place. We meet tomorrow at noon, she said. 10 minutes. If I do not message in the morning, we skip. He drew a breath and released it slow. You're doing this because you care, he said, as if naming it would give him a hold. I'm doing this because I care for myself, she said. He nodded and looked at the table. I will not call, he said, as if reciting a vow. I will not text. I will not show up. I will wait for noon. I will earn this. She heard the rhythm of his words and did not take comfort in it. She stood. We are done for today, she said. Thank you for meeting me. Wait, he said. Please. She paused. Can I hug you? He said. I need to feel we are still us. No, she said, steady. Not today. He closed his eyes for a beat, then opened them. I will be at noon, he said. I will do this right. She walked to the door. The guard glanced at her, then at Alex, and gave a small nod. Outside, Tara lifted her book an inch, a simple mark of presence. Maya walked past without breaking pace. At the corner, she sent Tara one line. Clear. Tara replied with a tiny green dot. Back home, she set her phone on the counter and turned the ringer off. She sent one group message to Tara and her aunt. Starting the quiet now. If you see any messages from him, do not respond for me. If I send blue folder, call twice. If three taps, stay on. They each replied with a heart. She checked the locks and slid the chain. She placed the tote with the folder under the table. The spare phone stayed off. The go bag sat where it had sat all day, waiting without drama. At 6 a delivery tried the buzzer. She did not open the door. At 6:10 a text from an unknown number arrived. This is Mark from the flower shop asking to confirm your best time for delivery. She did not reply. A minute later the same number wrote, Alex asked me to check. She blocked the number. At 7 a neighbor texted about a man in a linen shirt asking which unit she lived in. She thanked the neighbor and asked the super to sweep the hall. The super confirmed the hall was clear at 7:15 p.m. She wrote the time in her log. At 8 a voice note from Alex appeared despite the rule. He had used the group chat from the mural team to tag her, then sent the clip. She did not play it. Tara messaged the group with a quick redirect about paint supplies to drown the clip. The note sank under 10 lines of logistics. Maya wrote one line in her log. Breach via group tag at 8 p.m. No reply sent. At 9:30 p.m. the phone stayed dark. She washed the tea mug by hand and put it on the rack. She set an alarm for 7:20 a.m. on the spare phone and turned it off again. Near 10 the old pull rose up. Call him and end the quiet. Reassure him. Soothe the edge. She stood at the sink and named the pull. She wanted peace. She also wanted a life with room to breathe. Peace at the price of her time was not peace. She opened the notebook and wrote her line again. No access without consent. She spoke it out loud once. It landed in the room like a weight that held the floor steady. At 10:20 p.m., another unknown number texted. Car service here. He asked me to wait outside in case you need a late ride. She typed a reply, erased it, and blocked the number. She wrote the time in her log. At 10:40 p.m. an email arrived with a subject line that read, For when you are ready to hear me. She moved it to a folder called Later and did not open it. At 11 the building went quiet. She lay on the bed in the dark and kept her breath slow. Sleep came in small pieces. She did not reach for the phone. Morning broke with light on the wall. She woke to her aunt's scheduled text at 7:30 a.m. green. She replied with green. She stood in the kitchen and felt the quiet inside her as something solid, not a hole. She checked the door in the hall. Clean. She opened the mailbox photo and looked at the brass tag again. A small piece of metal. A new address for the bits of life she did not want at her door. At 9 Tara sent a short line. Holding steady. Noon is yours. I can sit near the door again. Maya wrote back. Please do. Sit where you sat. One table farther back. Same book. She made tea and sat with her list for the meeting. No justify. No argue. No defend. No explain. She would keep to 10 minutes. She would hand him his small items in a paper bag. She would ask for her spare key. She would say one clean line at the end and walk. The morning held. No texts. No calls. No notes. A quiet she owned. She packed the tote with the folder and the bag with his charger and 2 books. She put on shoes that made a clear sound on tile. She checked the time. 11:30 a.m. She locked the door, checked it twice, and stepped into the hall. Tara's last message landed as the elevator opened. In place. Hat down. Book up. You are not alone. Maya felt her shoulders drop. She took the ride down and walked into light. The cafe doors stood open. The guard looked up and gave a small nod. She took the same table as yesterday and set the paper bag on the chair beside her. When Alex walked in at noon, he carried nothing. He looked rested and careful. He sat and folded his hands. He opened his mouth to speak. Maya raised a palm, not high, not sharp. 10 minutes, she said. Then I go. He nodded, eyes bright. I kept my promise, he said. No calls. No door. I waited. She felt the truth of that, and did not let it change the plan. Good, she said. Here are your things. She slid the bag across. I want my spare key. He reached into his pocket and set the key on the table. I never used it, he said. She put the key in her tote. She spoke the line she had written. No access without consent, she said. From now on. He flinched like the words were a hard wind. He leaned forward. I can meet you where you are, he said. I am learning. Give me 1 more week. She kept her voice calm. I will text when I am ready to speak again. If I am not ready, there will be no text. He searched her face for a soft place to land. He found none. He nodded once, then twice. I hate this, he said. I want you. He kept his hands flat on the table, so she could see them. 10 minutes are up, she said. He sat still for a count. Please, he said. She stood. No access without consent, she said again. She turned and walked to the door. The guard moved a step to the side to let her pass. Tara lifted her book an inch. The street air met her clean. Behind her, a chair scraped. She did not turn. The choice sat in her chest like a clear bell. Today was not a fight. Today was a step. The next sound from her phone would test that step. She kept walking and did not reach for it. Chapter 7, Clean Break, Clear Voice. They met at noon under the high windows. The guard stood near the door. Tara read on a bench 10 steps away. Maya kept the paper bag on the table, and the words short. I'm returning the scarf and the spare charger, she said. I don't need anything from you. He leaned forward. Let me explain, he said. No, she said. I will not justify, argue, defend, or explain. This is a boundary. He searched her face, then tried softer ground. I can be steady, he said. Give me 1 more chance. She kept her voice even. No contact. He swallowed. For how long? Permanent, she said. Do not call. Do not text. Do not come by. Do not send through others. He nodded once, then twice, like he had to teach his body to accept it. I hate this, he said. I wish you well, she said. She stood, lifted the bag toward him, then set it on the chair. Goodbye. Outside, light lay warm on the sidewalk. She walked past Tara without stopping. At 2, the locksmith changed the deadbolt. At 3, she set her phone to silence unknown calls. She blocked his numbers, and the 2 he had used last night. She left the team chat and sent a simple note to the manager. Remove tags that name her without consent. At 4, she sat with a counselor for 30 minutes. She told only the facts. She named the rush, the tests, the reach, the flood. She asked 1 question. How do I trust my read next time? The counselor said trust is built in small, repeated acts. She wrote that down. At home, she cleaned the table and put the notebook in a drawer. She kept 1 page on the counter with 5 lines she could say out loud. I move at my pace. Privacy is not secrecy. My time is mine. My phone stays with me. No access without consent. She read them once slow. They felt like a floor she could stand on. She called her aunt and said she was safe. She texted Tara a green dot and a thanks. She took a short walk and counted her breath. In through the nose for 4. Out through the mouth for 6. The air felt like air again. The next morning, no call. No text. No note at the door. She made tea and watched light move across the wall. She wrote what safety looks like now. Quiet hour each night. Friends who see and tell the truth. A first date that ends on time. No talk of soulmates in week 1. No scheduled voice. Trust would return as small proof. It would not ask for a leap. It would not need a timer. She turned the page and wrote one last line. If any rule bends, I will act, not argue. Her phone buzzed once with a new number. She let it pass. The room stayed steady. She breathed and said the words again, clear and simple. No contact. Then she went to the window and opened it to the day.